Now, in the Sundays in the run-up to Lent, we're going to continue with our sermon series in the Gospel according to Luke, looking at some of the passages that are only in Luke's Gospel. And you might like to turn to the passage we're going to look at today. It's Luke chapter 15, page 1048 in the Bible. Thank you, Jonathan. We're going to look today at perhaps the most famous story that the Lord Jesus told. It's a parable, and we know what a parable is, don't we? What's a parable? Matthew? Abby? A story with a meaning, absolutely, well done. So in this chapter, Jesus told three stories about lost things. The lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. We're going to think about the last of those today, but I just want to remind you what sparked off Jesus to tell these stories. So, if you've got it open in front of you, Luke chapter 15, on page 1048. Now it says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners, or the so-called sinners, the people who everybody thought of as sinners, were all gathered round to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, 'This man Jesus welcomes sinners and eats with them.'" Okay, so Jesus is welcoming sinners and eating with them. And I want you to think as we read the first part of this story now, who is it in the story who welcomes sinners and eats with them, okay? Who welcomes sinners and eats with them? Great, we'll have our first reading, please.
Our reading this morning is taken from Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 24, and can be found on page 1049 of your Pew Bibles. The parable of the lost son. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off to a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Carol. So Jesus welcomes sinners and eats with them. And who is it in the story who welcomes sinners and eats with them? What? The Father, absolutely, yes, okay. So, we often think about the Father in this story as representing God the Father, don't we? But it might be that the Father in this story represents Jesus, because it's Jesus who welcomes sinners and eats with them. At least Jesus is saying, well, in welcoming sinners and eating with them, I'm doing the same thing that God does, so that's what you ought to do too. Now let's have the next slide up and let's dig into the story. Jesus begins in verse 11. There was a man who had two sons. Now we sometimes call this story the parable of the lost son, or a prodigal son. But that is quite a misleading title, because it's really a story about the father and the two sons. As we'll see later, it's really two lost sons. So perhaps the best title for this story might be The Gracious Father and the Two Lost Sons. What does gracious mean? Sorry? Generous, yeah. Showing grace. So here's the father who's kind and generous. He shows grace. He gives the son good things that he doesn't deserve. Now, let's have the next slide up. In verse 12, the youngest son asks the father something really shocking. He says, "Father, give me my share of the estate." Now, when would the son normally get the inheritance? Abby? When the father dies, yes. So, in effect, this son is saying to his father, "Dad, you've been hanging around here a bit too long, haven't you? You thought of dying yet? In fact, I wish you were dead." It's a shocking thing to say to his father, isn't it? The son wants his father's stuff, but he wants nothing to do with his father. It's really shocking. But the Bible says that in our different ways, that's what we all do with God. We don't want God telling us what to do and cramping our style. We want to be our own God. We say to God, "Shove off, I'm in charge, no to your ways." We all want his gift, but we don't want the giver. Each of us blanks his maker. Next one. And the really surprising thing is that the father divides up his property amongst his sons and gives his son what he wants. In that culture, you might think that the very patriarchal, hierarchical society, so the dads are very much in charge in those societies, and you might think that the dad might beat his son and kick him out, but he doesn't. He gives him what he asks for. And the son doesn't hang around long, verse 13. Not long after that, the youngest son got together all he had, set off to a distant country, and squandered his wealth in wild living. Let's have the next one up. So, squandered his wealth in wild living. That means probably for a while he had a fantastic time. He partied, he burnt through his cash, he spent the money like there was no tomorrow. And for a while, perhaps he enjoyed himself. Maybe it was a great adventure and he had lots of fun. But very soon the money was gone, and then so were his so-called friends too. There they are, disappearing, look. Just look again at verse 14. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. Next slide. He hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to the field to feed the pigs. Now, the Jewish people thought of pigs as unclean. So this is a particularly horrible job, a job that this boy who had been well off wouldn't want to do. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. He had fallen pretty low, hadn't he? It's quite bad if you find yourself so hungry that you're just longing for some pig spill, but you're not even allowed any. That would be quite bad, wouldn't it? We see a picture of what sin, what rejecting God, can do to us. Sin seems to offer so much, but it doesn't really satisfy. And so the son has a think, verse 17. And in our Bible it says, he came to his senses. More literally it might be, he came to himself. And he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father." Now, I'm not sure whether the son has really properly turned back to his father here. He at least realizes that sin has been a bad deal for him and has got him into a mess. He realizes that it's stupid to sin and to reject God. And he thinks, well, maybe I should work out a repayment plan with my father. Perhaps I should, you know, restructure my debt, go home, be his slave, work it all off, and be forgiven. So he goes home. Interestingly, that phrase, I have sinned against heaven and against you, Pharaoh uses that phrase halfway through the plagues in the Old Testament. And Moses and God agree to stop the plagues, but then Pharaoh just carries on the same afterwards. So maybe this son hasn't really come to full repentance yet. Next one, verse 20. So anyway, he decides to head home. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to see his son, and he threw his arms around him and kissed him. Now, in those times, fathers were important people, and they didn't run. Not very dignified to run, is it? Have you ever seen Her Majesty the Queen run? No. But God is willing to be undignified, willing to be shamed, because he loves us and longs to forgive us. He is much more willing to forgive us than we are to repent. He runs to his son and throws his arms around him. You might call this parable the parable of the running father. There's the good news, that God is rich in mercy and grace and longs to forgive. And the son starts his sorry speech in verse 21, but he's not even able to get to it. The father cuts him off and says, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and a sandal on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. We're going to party because the son is back. He's welcomed back, not as a slave, but as a son. He's completely forgiven and restored. And if we feel that we have wandered off from God, we would do well today to come to our senses, to turn back to him, to say sorry, and return to him. We know that he stands ready to forgive us. He is full of mercy and grace. He will throw his arms around us and receive us back as his children. So the second part of the story now, which contains the real punchline, it's really this older brother who is the reason why Jesus told this story, because the older brother is like the Pharisee and the teachers of the law reading things from verses 1 and 2.
That's still in Luke 15, starting at verse 25. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. This is the word of the Lord.
Two sermons for the price of one. You are a lucky lot today. Now, who is it easier to get into heaven? A good person or a bad person? We might think that's obvious, certainly. We might think, well, much easier for a good person to go to heaven than a bad person. But here is a story about a good boy and a bad boy. The younger son is the bad boy, isn't he? And yet, halfway through our story, he's back in, celebrating with his father. He repents, and he's forgiven, and he's restored. The bad boy gets into the party because he repents and God shows him mercy. But what about the good boy? When the story ends, he is still outside, isn't he? He hasn't gone off to the far country. He's been working away in the field. But actually, he is just as far away from his father as the younger son was. Perhaps further away. Doesn't really like his father, does he? He thinks his father treats him like a slave and is mean to him. You never even gave me a date to celebrate with my friends. Doesn't say he ever asked for one. In fact, the father has divided up his property with him. The father says, everything that I have is yours. Here is a kind and generous father. And yet this son has been living and thinking as if he were a slave. Well, despite this boy's hissy fit, his public tantrum, the father still goes out to him and seeks him and pleads with him to come in. I wonder where you see yourself in this story. Perhaps you can see a bit of yourself in the first son, maybe now or in the past. But we're all here in church, aren't we? Many of us are on the races and serving God and doing good in the community. Maybe we're much more likely to be like this older brother. How is our heart and our attitude, our relationship to God? We might not be far from him physically, we're in church, but what about in our heart and mind? Well, the passage ends on a bit of a cliffhanger. We don't know whether the older brother goes in or not. I wonder what he does. If the father in this story represents Jesus, we know what the Pharisees and the teachers of the law are going to do to him, don't we? They're going to have him crucified. And maybe the older brother gets out a shovel, beats his father's brains out, and buries him round the back of the house. Maybe. But there's a chance, isn't there, for him to come back in. The Father invites you to come back. He offers you his grace and mercy. He says, everything that I have is yours. Come and celebrate. Will you share the Father's joy today? Will you come back to him? He welcomes sinners and eats with them, whether they've gone off to the far country or in a temper tantrum into the field. Let's pray together. Father, whether we're more like this younger brother or this older brother, we pray that you might bring us back to yourself today. We thank you for your mercy and your grace, that you long to forgive, that you run to us, that you come out to plead with us. Restore us to friendship with you, we pray. We thank you that all that we have is yours. And despite what we've done, you treat us as your dearly loved children. Help us today to share in your joy and to come in and have fellowship with you. Amen.